In that permission, Shaheed said, after praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that our respectable son, Hujjatul Islam wal Muslimin, Sayyid Mahmud Hashimi, has spent a long time of his life learning fiqh, usul and theological studies, so that he has succeeded to become a mujtahid on whom Islam and the Muslims may rely.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahrudi was living in Najaf. This was because, I mean, the ex-Ba'athist regime hadn't devastated the whole Najaf seminary. And another one is that Najaf was in some way the hub of all the Shiite world.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher and analysis on the thoughts and works of the most outstanding jurists, philosophers, and thinkers of the Nation of Islam all across the world. I'm Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, Dr. Muhammad Reza Fakh Rouhani, a faculty member of the University of Qom. Assalamu alaikum, Doctor.
Assalamu alaikum.
And Sayyid Mohsen Naghwi, an Islamic scholar from the Islamic House of Qom. Assalamu alaikum, brother. Welcome to the
show. Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
So today we want to continue our discussion regarding the character of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Hashimi Shahrudi. In our previous discussions, we talked about his lineage, his background, and his scholarly and academic, you know, character, especially his main fields of studies in the terms of Islamic, we can say, principles, usul al-fiqh, we can say he was one of the students and one of maybe the best students, among the best students of Shaheed Muhammad Baghir Assad. But Sayyid Mohsen Naghwi, regarding the political life and the political activities of Ayatollah Mahmud Hashimi Shahrudi, both in Iraq and Iran, there are so many documents. He was a political activist in both Iraq at the time of Ba'ath regime and then in Iran. Talk a little bit about his political activities for us, brother.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, as we know that he was one of the most prominent and close students of Shaheed Saad.
Definitely.
Since Shaheed Saad has Hizbut Da'wah, which was against the Ba'ath regime, and they have these activities, Ayatollah Shahrudi was also involved in those activities from the very beginning. And but we can see, like, even in the history, that in 1974, the Ba'ath regime, because of his activities that he had against the Ba'ath regime and the Saddam's regime, they imprisoned him, and he was in prison.
Right.
After that, we see that when the Islamic Revolution occurred in 1979, the first late Ahmad Khomeini was the link between the Imam Khomeini and Shaheed Saad, and later it was Ayatollah Shahrudi,
okay,
late Shahrudi, who was a link between them, and he used to, you know, bring the messages for Shaheed Saad. And if I want to just quickly summarize the activities that he had in Iraq, after the martyrdom of Shaheed Saad, basically he became a prominent leader for the Iraqi, we can say, Shias, or the those who were against the Ba'ath regime. And
at the time of Ba'ath regime, the Shias were banned from holding
all
gatherings.
Kinds. Yes.
So there were a great ulamas on that time in Hawza. Hawza was active on that time in Basra?
Hawza was active, and that was only for the educational cause. So they couldn't have the political, you know, speeches. Same was the case in Iran as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like at the time of the Shah Pahlavi, it was allowed for the scholars to have their lectures in the Hawza, but they were not allowed to talk about politics.
Okay.
You know, this was the secular thinking was within these, we can say, the secular thinking was within these, you know, rulers of the time.
That's right.
And what made Imam Khomeini prominent from other scholars at the time of, before the revolution, it was that Imam Khomeini raised his voice against the things that were going on in the country.
That's right.
And he basically got involved in the politics of the country. Same is the case with the Shaheed Sadr in Iraq.
That's right.
Why Saddam killed Shaheed Saad? Because he came and he basically started talking about the politics.
That's right.
And he was basically intervening in the political issues of
that
time for the weak, you know, people of the Iraqi, like the Iraqi people. And we can see the same activities that late Ayatollah Shahrudi followed the same footsteps of his teachers.
We get to Majlis A'la, you know, in Iraq by Ayatollah Hashemi Shahrudi, established by him, in fact. Dr. Fakhrani, brother, you yourself had many travels to Iraq, especially the cities of Najaf and Karbala. And we know that the Ba'ath regime had such a pressure over there. They martyred so many members of the great families. It's called the families in Iraq, and banned so many others. Ayatollah Hashemi Shahrudi was among, we can say, those scholars who had to leave the country, Iraq, for Iran because of the Ba'ath pressures over there. Talk a little bit about the political atmosphere of Iraq during the Ba'ath regime and Saddam regime, and why Ayatollah Shahrudi left over there.
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In order to discuss this point, it's necessary to go back and to refer to what our brother Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi has already referred to. We find that when shortly after the 1920 revolution in Iraq, we find that several dynasties, I mean Arab dynasties, came to power in Iraq, mainly in Baghdad. At first, a great majority of them had British leanings, and later on, with the upcoming of the ex-Soviet powers, we find that leftists and Marxists got to power, okay? Now we find that, apart from the Sunni populated areas of Iraq, when we come to the Shia parts, we find that leftists and especially communists, Marxists, wanted to propagate the teachings in the Shia populated areas. At this time, we find that among the great and renowned ulamas in Najaf, we find that the late Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr was one of the most prodigious scholars who felt this threat and developed many books. And the back scenario of his writing the book Falsafatuna, or philosophy, was that the late Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr wanted to highlight that the Islamic creedal system and the Islamic mindset is much superior to other frameworks already presented to people.
That's
as
right.
The savior of nations.
Okay.
At that time, because the ex-Ba'athist regime had apparently leftist inclinations and leanings, but in fact they were connected both to Americans and to Russians.
Okay.
And for the intelligence system, they benefited from the British and the Zionists at the same time.
Okay.
They benefited from everywhere who were against Islam. They felt the threat of the late Shahid Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, and not only the threat of the Shahid Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, but also the threat they felt from the close associates of the late Shahid Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr.
Including Ayatollah Shahrudi.
Yes, exactly.
That's right. Okay.
We find that first they arrested and then martyred the late Shahid Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr, and almost at the same time or shortly afterward, they wanted to follow up and to chase and pursue the close associates of the late Ayatollah Shahid Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. And it's because of this that the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahrudi first from Iraq went to Kuwait, and then from Kuwait he migrated back to Iran, okay, to his paternal homeland.
And were there any member of the family members of Ayatollah Shahrudi martyred in Iran?
There were three brothers.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
His three brothers,
wow.
They got martyred by the Ba'ath regime, and they were involved in the political activities at that time.
Ayatollah Shahrudi's three brothers were martyred.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
And they were students in Baghdad, at the University of Baghdad.
One of them was a student, another had a business.
Has a business?
Yes, had a business in Karbala.
Okay.
And there was another who was also, I think he also had a business, but they all three, because they were so much active in the riots against the Ba'ath regime.
That's
and
right.
in the activities. So first they imprisoned them, and after them, obviously, they got martyred. And the interesting thing is that all three of them, the family has not received till today their dead bodies, and they don't know where they are.
Oh.
They were imprisoned by the Ba'ath regime,
okay.
And where they took them, no one knows about them.
Yes, it was quite prevalent in Iraq at that time. Okay,
Killing of the scholars and the family
killing
members.
Killing and burning the body and so on. Oh. Or, for example, putting the whole body in acids, for example.
Oh.
Yes.
That's all right. So, you know, living under such circumstances in Iraq was really difficult, especially for scholars who could see, for example, that Islam talks about justice, Islam talks about the human rights and this and that, and then you'd have no chair or no place in order to express yourself, only the academic fields of studies. And was it based on the order or suggestion of Ayatollah Baghir al-Assad that Ayatollah Shardi left Iran?
No, basically it was after the martyrdom of Sheikh Sadr.
That's right.
Yes. Okay, and it was generally, he basically moved back to Iran, yes, before him. Mm-hmm. And that was because in 1974 when he got imprisoned, with the reference of a couple of maraji of that time and the pressure of the ulama, he was freed by the Ba'ath regime. Mm-hmm. And after that, obviously, I think it was Shahid Baghir al-Sadr as well, like, who basically said to him to move to Iran.
That's right.
And that's how he became the link between the Shahid Sadr and Imam Khomeini.
And what was this Islamic Supreme Council of Iraq, which was established by... Was he the main establisher of that?
He was one of the main people who was involved in establishing that. Okay. But actually, it was the Hakim family. Mm-hmm. And Shahid Sayyid Muhammad Bakr al-Hakim was the main person who was behind it. And they made this council against the Ba'ath regime. And it was obviously, in today's world, we can say, at the moment, we can say currently, the most of the seats that were taken by a political, we can say, like, group in the parliament of Iraq is from the same group. Okay. Although the Hakim family was the one who basically started this group, but we can see the first president of this group was late Ayatollah Shahroudi. Mm-hmm. And after 30 months, when he moved to Iran, then Sayyid Bakr al-Hakim took the chairman. He became the chairman. After him, his brother Abdul Aziz, and now it's Ammar al-Hakim.
That's right.
Who is in charge of the group.
So, and this majlis has specific roles, I mean, and on that time especially...
At that time it was against the Ba'ath regime. Also, it has some charitable, you know, we can say, institutes.
Okay.
It's supporting the schools.
Right.
It has its own schools.
Okay.
There are the libraries that they built because, you know, one of the reasons that there was a need of making such a majlis was because the Ba'ath regime wasn't thinking about the welfare of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And since they were not thinking about the welfare of people and they were just governing and having their own rulership over the people, so people from inside who had pain for the Iraqi general public.
That's right.
Which is mostly from, like, it has come from the same ulama, okay, like the scholars in the Najaf and Karbala. So they raised their voice, they started these activities.
That's right.
And they started to develop the charitable institutes to help the poor people. They started schools because schools were not there, especially in the Shia, we can say, like, places where there were more Shias. They were oppressed by these Ba'ath regime, and they never wanted them to be become literate.
Okay.
So that, you know, that's one of the main things about the rulers, the cruel rulers, that they do not want people to get educated, because when they get educated, they can raise their voice against what's happening.
Okay.
So they want them to be illiterate, do not know about anything, and then they can, like, rule the country.
Right. We know that in Iran, the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Hashemi Shahroudi was the head of the judiciary and the judicial system in Iran. And the new look that he had, I think, at the judicial power in Iran was absolutely based on the maktab of Shahid al-Sadr. And, you know, one of the great things that he had done was the change of the concept of imprisonment for the prisoners and the criminals in Iran, because he believed that, according to the Fiqh of Shia, this imprisoning itself has the negative consequences, influence on the soul and the spirit of the people. he tried as best as possible to replace it with the other, we can say, punishments. And the other great things that he had done, you know, regarding the new look that he had in the judicial system in Iran, started with Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Hashemi Shahroudi, and then the next generations of the head of the judiciary system continued that path. Thank you much.
Dr.
Fakhrwani, nothing to add, brother, to
no.
this field? Okay. And Zaid Mohsen Naghvi, thank you much, too, for being present in the program. The teacher, it was very kind of you. In three episodes, we tried to cover the character of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Hashemi Shahroudi. May Allah bless his soul. Because of a disease, you know, he passed away. The prayer on his body was led by the leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. And then his body was taken to the holy shrine of Hazrat Masuma in the holy city of Qom. And he was buried in Balasar Mosque in the vicinity of the shrine of Hazrat Masuma in the holy city of Qom. May Allah bless his soul. And we really missed him. And we could really benefit from him so much more. And unfortunately, he passed away because of a disease. Thank you very much, Sayyid Mohsen and Dr. Fakhrwani. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. Do not forget to visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Khalaf Islam page. Also, our YouTube channel, Khalaf Islam Radio. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Allah.